The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Varis Health Partners.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Meg with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And the number here, 850-437-1620. You guessed it. We got two guys in the studio. They wanted to hear some serious rock and roll this morning, a little Van Halen and Jump.
Yeah, I was about ready to get off this chair and start jumping around.
I could see that the hands were going up.
Yep.
I have with me this morning from Varis Health, we have Keith Giles, who is here with us, as well as a guest of his, who's been on the show before, Jason Boatwright, who is with the Veteran Affairs. He's our, tell me your title again, sir.
I'm the Chief of Community and Government Affairs. It's a long one.
It's a long one. We are here to talk about health and veterans, I'm assuming. And welcome to the show. And it's good to see you again, Keith.
Yeah, it's I replaced the best one. That was my wife. So you guys are stuck with me. So.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. We're good. You picked a good song.
Yep.
she'll be listening.
All right. So what do you want to talk about this morning? There's so many things happening with the new administration and health care and veterans health care. Very long list. Let's get started on that topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can make the best use of our time.
So we have a company that's in the health insurance business, and because both Pam and I are veterans, right? We seem to get a lot of veteran traffic into our office asking us questions about, hey, what happens when I'm 65? Hey, what do I do? But it never fails that we find somebody who's never signed up on the veteran at the VA.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. I ran into a gentleman the other day. Actually, I'm going to have to, I won't say any names.
No names.
Yeah. He was a cop in the Air Force for 20-something years. He retired. And his wife was at a military affairs committee. And his wife came in and was like, he's never filed. And he's got all these things. He's overseas and a lot. And he says he doesn't think he needs to sign up.
Oh, he most definitely needs to sign up.
And
yes.
I know from my experience that when I went through that process, I actually had somebody kind of like push me that way. And so this kind of led my way of meeting people like Jason here. I think we met like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago. I think it was at the Navarre Chamber with Sandra Ryan and all them.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So you have been a great resource for me, and you've moved into a new position, which is incredible. And by the way, I guess I could call you doctor.
It's going to take a little bit to get used to that.
Yeah. Well, that's a heck of an achievement, so I appreciate it. But
I used my Chapter 31 benefits to get the doctorate.
Wow.
I wanted to show everybody that every veteran has that benefit, and I was like, well, here, watch what I can do.
Well, congratulations, Jason. I didn't realize that. Yep. Congratulations. Dr. Jason Boatwright in the house today.
That's right. So you've been a great resource, and you've stepped up helping veterans and getting them in the right path. And but we're going to talk about what's upcoming. Last year we had,
you've got a big event coming up, correct?
Yes. So what's going on? Let's share what happened last year and what we expect this year.
Well, last year we generally only did one benefit a year, where we actually brought the VBA and other resources to the area.
Mm-hmm.
It was overwhelming. It was incredible. So
what was the event?
It was just a veteran resource event where we actually bring the VBA from St. Petersburg up to the Panhandle and actually work with the veterans that are here to, you know, start their claim, get status updates on the claim, you know, do higher level reviews, appeals, stuff of that
nature.
So
they had tables and people could go to different tables and talk to different people.
Absolutely. Okay. And we had one a couple weeks ago where we had over 781 veterans come in.
Right, that's right. You told me about that.
We had quite a few of those. But the consensus was that we don't need to just do it once a year. We need to do it biannually. So we want to do one in the beginning of the year, one in the end of the year. So we took a lot of the information that I learned from Keith and in other organizations on what can we do to make it better, what can we do to make it bigger. And the goal that we're having this year is to actually bring the claims examiners, and I'm hoping to get a rating adjudicator.
Oh, great.
So if all the veteran is waiting on is their criteria to go and get that rating adjudicated, we can do it there.
Excellent. That would be a huge service.
Yes, it was awesome. Yeah. I mean, that was my first one I went to. And you had like 1,100 people show up, veterans.
Yeah, we did it during the day when we actually had patients. And it didn't go out very well. You couldn't get a gurney through that front
door. Oh, my goodness.
So that's why we started doing it on the weekends.
Yes, yes. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So what do we have a date yet on this next one?
Not yet. With the way our world is right now, I'm trying to work out the fine line details.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to make sure that... One, you know, they still have a job.
Okay, right,
and
of
stuff,
course.
I work for the VHA, and they're on the VBA. They're on a completely different side of the Department of Veterans Affairs. But we're working together. They are willing to come. It's just we just got to set out a date and get all the details worked out.
So the good news is, as soon as you have a date, you're going to let me know, and we'll be announcing
you know.
It here on Pep Talk for you on News Radio 92.3. So you definitely will hear about it as we get closer to it. But
yeah, generally we did between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., but mm-hmm. we're trying to look at making this like an 8 to 5, like an all-day event.
With as many military in this area and veterans, you would think you'd want to mm-hmm. do that four times a year.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, you really do. And if I could, I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it to where people get numb to it. I want it to be that special thing.
Right. Well, appreciate Vera's Health having you here with us this morning. Mm-hmm. Keith is here to talk about kind of the current trends in healthcare and what's happening. Of course, we'll keep you posted on this upcoming event. But mm-hmm. what are you hearing now? Because you're on the front lines. What are you hearing with your company and some of your clients right now?
So for the where's the most havoc right now? It's usually in the prescription drug plans. This is
okay.
why it's important to veterans.
Right. So you deal with Medicare, Medicaid.
Yeah. I mean, we made some great changes under the Biden administration on that.
Mm-hmm.
Capping off your out-of-pocket maximum for prescriptions at $2,000. Boom. And then you don't have to pay anymore. Well, there is always a gray area where those people fit in that gray area, and they don't have $2,000, and even in the bank, $500.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there are veterans out there, and Jason and I were talking about one gentleman we're trying to help, who's on the verge of being homeless.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't have $500, $2,000 in the bank. He's just getting through. So... That's probably a good change for most people, but there's always a gray area where you just miss it.
Sure.
Using the private sector and the VA can be a very good benefit for me. And we were talking mm-hmm. about, you know, there's a special thing for homeless veterans, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you got to get signed up, right?
Well, the big thing about it is you know, homeless veterans, you know, they get automatic priority and fast-tracked. When it comes to anything that they actually sign up for, the issue is getting them signed up. Because I understand, you know, I don't need the help. I'm prideful and all that. But this is a benefit that's set aside.
Yeah.
For you. I mean, homeless benefits set aside for me, and I'm not homeless.
Well, if they're homeless, one of the things I would imagine, the big issue is communication. How do you reach someone who doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have a home, doesn't have a phone
right.
or computer? I mean,
and
that's problematic.
Well, the frontline social workers mm-hmm. that we have, when you enter the actual Pensacola clinic, the frontline homeless social workers are right there to your left. There's always somebody there.
That's good to know.
There's always someone there. And if the veteran can get there and talk to anybody in homeless social work, we actually have a service where we can take them back to where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a benefit for them. It ain't going to cost them anything.
You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This segment is being sponsored by Vera's Health. We have in the house Jason Boatwright with Veterans Administration, as well as Keith Giles. If you have a question for either about benefits, veterans, health care, that's what their specialty is, 850-437-1620. And if you'll text that in, then we'll try to get you your question. Okay, Keith, tell me more.
All right. So... you always hear from people the bad things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
So, and it doesn't matter if you're a civilian or a veteran, they're going to tell you what's the worst thing happened at the hospital or doctor's office and stuff like that. I've seen some really good changes here. And your efforts, Jason, and some of our representatives like Salzman and Gates were excellent in getting some attention down here, which we needed.
It was not easy. I can most definitely tell you that. I can tell you when I worked in Matt Gates's office, I only saw one side of the equation. But when I went over to the VA, I saw a completely different side. And there was a lot of issues that I had. And I worked through them. You know, one of those are events and bringing people actually into the VA to be like, look, you know, a lot of our elected officials and a lot of organizations, they never serve. The veteran population is actually declining. It declined, I can't remember the actual, I think it's like 0.3% a year. And so that's when I realized that there's a lot of people that aren't veterans, so they have no reason to come to the VA. But if I bring them and show them, they'll understand the hindrances and the issues that we have. And that was one of the reasons why I was glad that your organization could come. You know, Robert Bender, he came and taught. He actually, it was great. He worked with our blind veteran program to show them how to vote.
Whoa.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great. It was great.
Things you don't think about.
No, he, I mean, he never served, and he was proud to come and help our blind veterans that we have actually, you know the ways that that Escambia County had to help hindrances with physical deformities to get in to vote.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so to me, things are working well. It may be a little bit feel like it's slow.
Right.
But we're moving in the right direction, I see. That's
well,
the way I see it.
Yeah, we're going to keep going that direction. Yeah. You know, one of the, you know, everyone's talking about the VA hospital, and, you know, that's one thing that I'm working on is to get more services here and help out, because eventually we're going to have a clinic in Milton. Eventually we're going to have a clinic in Crestview. You know, that is our strategic plan moving forward, is to have those two clinics. The basic idea is those clinics are to help that those particular people in that area to alleviate the strain on the Pensacola Clinic, because it is extremely over capacity.
Yeah. It is. So what is there kind of a when do they plan on doing something?
It has been allocated. It's working through the government process and actually getting there. I know. Lord have mercy. I know. Because, you know, they don't want to build anymore. I mean, that's the thing. The VA does not want to build buildings. They actually want to lease existing space, because if the VA were to bid, you know, put in a bid for a building, it's going to take 2 years just to get through the plans. But if they lease a space, you're going to cut that out in half. The basic idea is to get as quickly as possible to your end goal. But, you know, Mayor Heather Lindsay is, you know, she's in the talks, and a few county commissioners over in Santa Rosa County are in the talks. If I had to put a timeline on it, I would say we really probably won't really see anything really start moving forward until about 2027.
That sounds about right, about 3 years. Yeah, that sounds right. Well, when talking about the homeless, one of the biggest issues, in my humble opinion, is mental health.
Yeah.
And dealing with that. So in terms of that, what can we do? How can we, because so many of us want to help, feel powerless to help. What can we do?
Well, there's really no standard when it comes to homeless, you know, because, I mean, in the eyes of the VA, I could be couch surfing on, you know, a friend's couch, even though I got to play hot water, heat, air. I'm still considered homeless. So my needs might be different than somebody that's got a tent underneath I-10 overpass.
Right.
So when it comes to homeless, the big thing is identifying them. Two, letting their primary care and social worker, if they have one assigned, because every veteran has a primary care doctor and a social worker assigned to them, whether they use it or not. The big thing is having a general idea of where they are.
Interesting. Okay.
Because our police, we can actually send out for an MWR, which is a welfare check, on the individual. So the big thing is knowing where they are. And then two, making sure that they have a way to get to the VA. And there's a ton of resources as far as transportation are concerned to get them to have those checkups regularly to know that they are safe and they're okay.
Okay, that sounds very positive to me. I was not aware that they each had their own assigned physician.
Yeah, every veteran, when you register at the VA through Alpha Section, they assign you, and you'll be like, hey, I want health care here. Okay, cool. We'll get you. We're going to give you a primary care doctor and a social worker. So you always have those two at all times.
That's very good news. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. If you have a question for Jason or for Keith, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk with our sponsor, Verus Health, this morning. So, Keith, you are responsible for Verus Health. Tell us a little bit about some of the services you provide. Earlier you said you are a veteran-owned company, so that's a plus, especially in this area. And thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you so much. But talk a little bit about what your company does.
So we're in the health insurance business, and that's kind of the broad edge of it. But we're more of taking a platform of being a consultant. So it could be Medicare. We're heavy into education. We love to teach people. We love to show them what's available to them so that they can make the right decision for themselves. So that's one of our staples is Medicare, and Pam holds that up. She does a really good job with it. Mm-hmm. Our daughter's on board with that. I'm more of the group side and consulting in that area, so employer plans and things like that. And then we have the veteran side. So then we have that as well, which I kind of piggyback off that. And I try to guide them into the direction where at the VA, and then how do those private sector, other health insurance work with the VA.
So if someone wanted to reach you to have a consultation, how would they go about doing that?
So they can call us, or they can email, or they can go on our site and just fill out the information thing. And we'll give them a call.
Okay. Yeah. What's your phone number there?
Oh, gosh. I think it's 850-421-8935. I'm not sure.
Okay. Let me see if I've got it
yeah.
here.
VerusHP.com. VerusHP.com. And that'll pop up. We have two places, one in on the East Coast in Melbourne, Florida, and the other one's here in Pensacola.
Very good. Very good.
So, yeah.
It's good that you can actually be able to answer questions when veterans come in, you know, to your organization, because that typically is something that I run into a lot. It's like, I have this veteran ask me questions. What do I say? What do I do?
Right.
Yeah. And that's always been in my experience, that's always been a problem. It's like, what do I say? They're asking me questions on pharmacy and I don't know what to answer.
Right. Yeah, so that's a good point, because a lot of times they're on Medicare and they forget they could use the clinic prescription for them to get it.
So
you just avoided your $2,000,
right?
That
and,
you can pay.
And it's funny that you brought that up, because my grandmother's part of the Bridge Club here in Pensacola, and there is a lot of seniors in that Bridge Club. And she texts me all the time, hey, I have this buddy that I'm playing with, and he says that he was in Vietnam. And his name was David. I can't think of his last name. But he actually messaged me and said, Jason, my Eliquis is $600 a month. Never registered for the VA. I told him, come up there. I set him up with Kristen in Alpha Section, got mm-hmm. him enrolled. Now he doesn't pay for that Eliquis
there you go.
Anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got a text that just came in, and I suspect this is a common question. We got this last time you were here,
oh,
Jason.
Really?
Why does it take 5 to 7 months to be able to see my doctor?
Well, that could be, one of two different things.
Okay.
All right. One, it really depends on if they're a primary or a specialty doctor.
Right.
That's one. Two, they could be in the community, or they can be actually within the VA. Really, there's really no answer for that, other than we are over capacity. You know, we have 20 primary care teams at the VA that have panels well over 140%. And that is, I mean, that's the fact of the matter with that. And that's why we really need a larger facility, and we do need a hospital. So really, without really knowing, it's kind of hard to know with that individual, because if they're needing to see, if they're needing to see a surgeon for something like that, that could be one thing, because we don't do surgeries at the VA. We only do outpatient surgeries. We don't do major surgeries.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we're not a hospital. And
what's the closest facility for that?
If they're needing to go to a VA facility for something major, they're going to have to go either go to Biloxi or go to Jacksonville.
Okay.
Or they can request in the community, and they can go to Baptist Hospital, HCA, West Florida, anything of that nature.
Okay. So what are some of the most common issues that you see now as we go forward?
Some of the most common things that I have seen lately have been dermatology issues.
Interesting.
Burns, being exposed to chemicals. Mm-hmm. Because like I tell a lot of veterans, is you may be fine now, but you're also 22 years old. You know, you can't stop the clock. Eventually, you're going to get older and stuff's going to manifest itself.
Right.
So if you don't get seen early, you don't get registered early, before you know it, I mean, I turned 41 last week, and that doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary.
Right.
And so that's why I say, like, you know, you may have these, you know, little marks on your back and on mm-hmm. your arms now, but I'm not a doctor. I don't know if that's cancer.
Sure. Yeah. No, you got to get it checked.
You have to get it checked. You have to get seen regularly mm-hmm. and just understand that, you know, you gave service to our country and this is an entitlement that you have.
Right. So speaking of that, we got another text that came in that says, are there college benefits for a DAV child?
For a DAV, disabled American veteran child? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of college benefits. Mm-hmm. I did it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where would they go for that? What would be the first step, I guess?
Well, the first thing, you got to get registered.
Okay.
That is the very, very first step. And then when you register, they determine, because it really depends on if you're a wartime veteran, if you're not a wartime veteran. Vietnam veterans have something different than any veteran, you know, that didn't serve during a time of war, ultimately. Mm-hmm. I know right now, I think they took away our National Defense Service. I don't think we're actually in a wartime right now. So that determines benefits.
Gotcha.
That's okay. The big thing.
That's helpful.
And the real thing about it is are they wanting to use the GI Bill, which is the most popular. Everybody knows about the Montgomery GI Bill. But what they don't know is that the VA actually has education set up. You have 48 months for a veteran to use if they want to go get their pilot's license. Like I had one gentleman, he was a nurse and he can't do it anymore. Now he wants a CDL license. He don't want to drive a truck. He just wants to have a CDL license. So there's actual education benefits known as Chapter 31.
Mm-hmm.
And then all those, they can be passed to your children.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for that question. So we've only got a couple minutes left. The time has just flown by. Anything that you want to touch on, Jason, in terms of how folks can get in touch with you or next steps for folks?
Yeah, if anybody needs to get in touch with me, the best way, you know, you can either email me, jason.boatwright, and that's boatwright with a W, at va.gov, or you can text me, 850-356-3290. I do get texts all the time, so if I don't respond right away, bear with me. I'm trying to get to them. But the real big thing is if you know someone that served, if you know someone that's elderly, that, you know, you don't think that, you know, they're going to be able to be on their own, and they are a veteran, get them registered. You know, we have home-based primary care. We have doctors and nurses that will go out to their home and take care of them. If they're over a certain percentage, 50% or higher, we can get them put in an assisted living facility or a nursing home when that time comes. There's a string of benefits available to them, but like I was telling mm-hmm. Keith out there, yeah. The government allocates this for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they use it or not, that money is there.
Well, use it. Let's get people signed up to use it and reminds get taken
of,
care of.
Yeah, it reminds me of aid in attendance.
Aid in attendance is another one.
That is a beautiful thing.
It is. Caregiver support is another one. We have a great caregiver team.
Yeah.
Excellent caregiver team.
That is usually because we're in the elderly thing. That's what we face a lot.
Right.
What am I going to do? I got to quit my work to help my...
Right. And then when you would tell them about caregiver, they didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here. So mm-hmm. informative. We could do hours and hours on this topic. I have no idea. The texts are pouring in, so I apologize if I didn't get to your question. But do check with Verus Health, with Keith Giles. Best way to get a hold of you, Keith?
You can call me at 321-987-4589. Say you heard me on the radio when you text me.
All right. And you, Jason, best way to get a hold of you?
You just text me, 850-356-3290.
Thank you both for being here, and thank you both for your service.
Thank you.